LNB's audio diary for Tuesday, the 28th of February, 2023. It's the last day of February for this year anyway. Other years we get 29 days, but you know, leap years and such. Not this time. Not this time. It's about roughly 9:45 in the morning. I dropped off Mrs. Bronx at a job, and then I stayed and volunteered. I did the rabbits, and I did some of the cats. They have, let me think, they've got 4 adult cats, one of which is recovering from a really bad injury. Coming along nicely, though. And an adult mama cat, and she's nursing right now, so she's got, I don't know how many kittens, but she's got a few. Plus, they've got 9 other kittens. Actually, no, I take that back. They did, I'm trying to think, I think they got 8 now, because two of them went. But at any rate, a lot of kittens. A lot of kittens. Well, I don't deal with the kittens, and we're not supposed to touch the mama cat, because she's, you know, they get very defensive, so if you reach in there and stuff, it bothers them. I leave that to the experts, in other words. So, 4 cats and the rabbits, and, you know, then general sweeping and doing the dishes and all that stuff. So, it took about, 1 hour and 45 minutes today. It was 2 hours yesterday because the rabbits hadn't been done in a while and they were a mess. Anyway, yeah, that's what I did. I really don't mind the rabbits. I really dislike doing the cats. It's just the way the setup is. I'm you know, bending over, I'm leaning on concrete, I'm kneeling on concrete, I'm climbing up, I'm getting down, I'm climbing, you know, it's, I don't like it. I don't like it. But if I don't do it, that was, well, it wouldn't have taken one of the employees, Mrs. Bronx specifically, wouldn't have taken her 1 hour and 45 minutes to do what I did. But however long it would have taken her, that was time, you know, I saved for her or some of the others by volunteering. Because they are shorthanded, so got to do something, right? You know, because it hurts my knees, it hurts my feet, right? But she comes home and she's just wrecked from all of this. You know, all of the other stuff, all the dogs, all the stuff, then to dump that stuff on too, it's just too much. And normally they have volunteers for this sort of thing, but it's a bad time of year and they're short on volunteers anyway. And a lot of volunteers, as much as they want to, as much as they want to help, many of the ones that they get here are elderly, and, you know, they can do this sort of work for a while, but then it eventually, it gets to their knees, it gets to their feet, it gets to their back, it gets to, you know, their shoulders, all of that, you know, it gets to be a little rough. So, some of the people can be here, plus, we're in the middle of winter, and the weather has just been really bad all winter long, you know, not super tons. Well, yeah, actually we have had very heavy snow, but it's been steady. Last week we're supposed to get a huge amount of, like, a foot or more of snow tomorrow night. It's just the weather's been terrible, so, you know, a lot of these, they're volunteers, they're not required to be here, so they're not going to risk their life to come in. So, they don't come in, and we've missed, you know, Mrs. Bronx has missed. The other day, it came down, right? It started coming down. We got in the car, and we drove, and the driving was real bad. It started off fine, and by the time, I mean, the weather turned so fast. And we've been out here now 18 years or more, and all that time, I've never seen the weather turn this fast. We went from virtually nothing coming down to 20 minutes later coming into town. 20 minutes later, well, 25, I went a little slower towards the end. But say 20 minutes, we had snow and ice on the ground, right? I went to make a turn, and I slid way over almost into the other lane. I was sliding all over the road. We finally, you know, Miss Bronx called and said, look, this driving's awful. We can't do this. And we were almost there, but the fear wasn't, you know, getting there. It was getting home again, right? So, she called and the boss didn't mind. She was like, yeah, I didn't expect you to be able to make it. So, we turned around and went home. By the time I would have had to pick up Mrs. Bronx, the roads were clear. But you don't know. You know, you just don't know what you're dealing with. And I would have been stuck there because I wouldn't have been able to get home. So, not safely. It was just terrible weather, terrible driving. And we got more of it coming this week. The volunteers, naturally, you know, this time of year, we just don't see them as much. When the weather changes and, you know, springtime comes, we start getting people who, they have summer homes up here, and they come up here, and they look for things to do. So, you know, that's when you start getting more volunteers, and maybe I'll be able to step back from some of this. But, trash man right in my way. You going? What you doing, guy? I don't know what you're doing, and I can't get around you until, like, this guy goes. Alright. Sorry. It's one of those trash trucks that have the arm that comes down and picks up the can, and it's right in the middle of the big road. It's weird. Usually they pull into parking lots and stuff here. But yeah. Sorry about that. Let's see. Today got a Tottenberg newsletter out. Covering some of the finer points of the construction of the final picture, right? The image itself, the model itself, is done by this point in the narrative, right? But we were discussing how the layout of the cover for the role-playing game, how that should look, right? So, it's fun. This one didn't have, because we were talking about ideas and concepts, so we didn't have any art for this one, but, I think it's interesting. If you're into this sort of stuff, I think it's interesting. Anyway, speaking of the role-playing game, I started playing around with this application called Obsidian. And it's a cross-platform application, open source, that it isn't made for role-playing games specifically, but there's been a lot of adoption in the RPG arena, right? And basically, it's a way to organize how, you know, organize your game and organize your campaign and all of your notes and all of this other stuff, right? It's a way to keep it all in a coherent order so that you can find what you need when you need it. It also can help with planning your games and keeping track of a lot of miscellaneous details during the games, right? That's the whole concept of it, at least as it applies to role-playing games. Obsidian itself is designed for anybody who's looking for some kind of organizational system for their notes and their projects and this and that. I don't know how useful or needed it is compared to other things, or that how much better or worse it's doing for other things. But with regards to role-playing games, which is the only thing I'd be using it for, I can see the appeal. I'm still on the fence as to whether or not it would be of any value in a Star Drifter game. But I think the more, like a lot of these things, the more you put into it, the more valuable it becomes. The more useful that it is with all the data that you might have in, crammed into this system. So with this thing, you can make all your notes, you can cross-reference all your notes so that there are links in your notes to other notes that they refer to. You can import PDFs, you can import images, you can import audio and video if you have the right plugins. You can do all sorts of stuff like that. It is possible to share this information with people out on the internet, though I don't think it would be a good tool to do that, like with your players in your game. There are probably people who, you know, do it quite successfully, but I can't quite right now, I can't quite see the value in that part of it. But being able to share some materials directly in the application would probably have some value. At any rate, it's interesting, and I've been spending time. One of the tools they have is a fantasy calendar plugin, right? And that allows you to have your own calendar for your own world, right? Well, I have one for Star Drifter. You know, it's called Galactic Time, and it's just different enough from the Gregorian calendar that it, you know, it's not a dead simple process that you would understand, you know, that you would necessarily understand it. And I use the terms for this calendar all the time in the stories and in the game. So having a calendar, a Galactic Time calendar, handy is, I think, a good thing. So I did spend time setting up the calendar. Their implementation of it in Obsidian is pretty rough, and I wasn't super satisfied with how that was turning out. However, it is designed so that it can import data from this other application that exists called Fantasy Calendar, right? And Fantasy Calendar is a website slash application that has a lot of tools, and it's complicated. Actually, it took me a long time to figure out what I was doing and why I was doing wasn't working, right? Why the stuff I was trying wasn't working. But I did figure it out eventually, and I created the calendar in that application, and then I was able to export that information and then import it into the calendar application in Obsidian, which is a desktop application, right? The other one was on the web. This one is a desktop application. And Obsidian is able to display everything that I created over there. So it's fine with how it's displayed. Now, it doesn't have all the options, but it's just fine for my purposes there. But its creation tools are rough, right? So that's why I did it that way. But now I have a full implementation of the Galactic Time calendar, the GT calendar. And that took time, but it shows the potential for something like this, that it can, you know, actually help me achieve some kind of organizational, you know, thing. Because I was keeping track. When I was running a campaign before, I was keeping track of what was happening, when, how much time was passing, et cetera, et cetera. So it would be very, very nice to be able to do that in some kind of digital form that allows it to automatically update, et cetera, et cetera. So, anyway, I have to get gasoline. Hold on. Okay, that was gasoline. And I went in and grabbed some gas station food. But yes, I have been watching what I've been eating. I am now down 21 pounds in this diet, or from this diet, I should say. I don't think that's too bad. So I've been, and that includes more or less eating what I want to eat. I've talked about the diet before, but it is working, still working. So anyway, yeah, I'm giving Obsidian a serious try, and I'm going to plug in data I already have to try to create a kind of a coherent structure to things that I've already created, right? And from there, once I have that stuff in place, I can, I'll have a better idea of how this stuff can be used, how the application itself can be used, and that data that's in there I can pull from that to create more stuff. So, for instance, I mean, there's probably a lot of really good ways to structure this sort of thing. But for me, I'm starting with a folder for the region of space, right? Now, I created a star map for the old campaign. I'm going to stick with that region. I've barely scratched the surface, right? And it's just one page of somewhat... it's just one page, one very tiny section of the Alliance of Independent Nations, right? It's within... it's within range of corporate space, so there's potential for a lot of... I think there's potential for a lot of adventure there. Plus, you know, it's got a nice smattering of modern stations. There are a couple of terraformed worlds. There are worlds that are not terraformed that people live on. There's a lot of mining. So there's a lot of the stuff that, you know, I feature in the stories can be found in this region. So I'm going to stick with this. I've already got it. I'm going to stick with it, right? So we got there. I imported the map. The map is there and ready to be used. I'm going to start there, and then we start going inward from there, right? So then we'll go to the Marquette star system, right? That will have, that will be more fleshed out than the others, at least at first, because that's where Opal City Station is, right? So we go to Marquette star system. I'll have information about that. And one of the things in Marquette is Opal City. So then we go to Opal City, and that will be where the, you know, that's going to be the setting for, you know, because I did a lot of work on Opal City. So that'll be the setting for the campaign there, right? And because it's something that I would be using a lot, because it's the setting, it might not make a lot of sense to bury it that way, but there's a plugin to assign a quote-unquote home page, right? You can pick a page in all of your data and just mark that as open here, right? When the application is run, open here. So I would create something for Opal City, you know, get everything set up there, and even though that's going to be kind of buried in other folders and other underneath other data, that'll be the first thing I see, right? And then I can move out, and that helps keep it organized, you know, first off in the application, but also in my head, you know, because it's, you know, we're looking at the wider star, the wider region of space, then the star system, then the station, and then all the stuff that happens in the station and adventures that spring from that station. I'll have a brief mention of those, but I'll have a separate section just for adventures, right? And because things can get tagged and linked easily, that would be a very simple thing to do, right? I'll have that brief mention with a link to the full adventure, and then from there you can go, you know. Yes, a lot of this could be done by just simply nesting notes and pages and stuff like that, but a lot of it isn't always easy, and the linking thing is really the killer feature for this. Linking these pages together is and making it fast and simple is really the killer feature, the thing that will allow you to find what you need when you need it, at least in my opinion. That's the way it is. All right, hold on, I'm gonna grab a chicken sandwich for Little Brown. He wanted one, so hold on. Okay, boy, that took a long time. Oh, they were backed up. Anyway, so yeah, I don't know where I'm gonna go. I don't know where I'm gonna go with the campaign, let alone with Obsidian, right? Because I'm not gonna have it with me, most likely, right? I suppose, because they have versions of this for Android, I could put it on one of the tablets and export all my data and then, you know, import it into, I think I can export all my data as a single JSON file. In which case I can import it into the tablet, and then I can bring it with me if I'm going to run this game somewhere. I'm not going to be running a game at my house, so that's not going to happen. and I may not be running a game at all. I mean, I want to, but I don't know how things are going to play out at all. And it's a long way off before I feel like I'm ready for it. I would like to play online, and this would be a very good tool for that as well. So, yeah, there are a lot of things that this could apply to. I don't know. I've never really used one of these things successfully. I have tried a bunch of them because they're organizational / productivity tools, right? And I've dipped my toe into that many times, actually. And I've always kind of gotten burned. I've never really found one that worked for me, you know? Some of them are way, way overkill. Some of them are, you know, they're easy to forget, right? You know, you even forget you start using them, and then time passes and you realize that you started this thing and that was months ago, you know. A lot of failures on organizational or productivity tools, but because this particular one with the plugins that I'm looking for and the methodology that I intend to explore and use, you know, because a lot of people have been using this for a while and have found ways to implement it. With that in mind, I might get a much better grasp on this tool because I'm specifically using it for something that does need that level of organization and efficiency. So it's possible that it's something that I learn how to use and then choose to use it going forward. I don't know if that's the case, but we'll find out. You know, we'll find out. At any rate, that's what I've been looking at and working on. Have been working on the audio for chapter 13, and I have been using the I have been writing in volume 2 for All He Surveys. So you know, progress is glacial, but it is moving, and moving on every front pretty much. So that's pretty good, I think. So what else? The new season of Star Trek Picard started. I don't even know where it's going yet. I don't know if I'm going to like it, but I always enjoy it. I always enjoy it. And it's nice to have characters that you're long familiar with. And, you know, I mean, the actors just, you know, they can do these characters in their sleep. Sometimes it seems like they're doing that, but it actually, you know, you're very comfortable with the characters, and so are they. So it's nice to see them. I don't know. We'll see. There is a new cartoon that I'm in love with that I think is just amazing. And that is Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. It's a Disney Channel thing, Marvel / Disney. And it is definitely a kid's thing. She's a superhero and has a Tyrannosaurus Rex that, you know, she has in a cave underneath the Lower East Side in New York. And, you know, it's all done for laughs. It's all done for laughs. Now, if you have had the chance to see Kid Cosmic, which is another cartoon that came out a couple of years ago, I've talked about that in the past on this show, but essentially Kid Cosmic is just a zany, zany, crazy sort of cartoon. It's just frenetic and hilarious. Really, really funny. And this reminds me of that in a lot of ways. So, you know, I don't know if there's any connection between those two shows, but this reminds me of that a lot. And I just think it's adorable. I think it's absolutely adorable. If you've got kids, this is the show to turn them on to. It's so funny. It's just frenetic. It's crazy. It's just, I really like it. And it's so charming. It's just so sweet and charming. So that's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. And she doesn't have a superpower. She's brilliant. She's like, you know, a 10-year-old Tony Stark or something, right? 10 or 12 or whatever she is. And she's super brilliant, lives in the Lower East Side. Her parents own a roller rink, you know, for like, doing, you know, like roller disco or whatever. It's just goofy as hell. And she creates some sort of time portal and Devil Dinosaur comes through. Now, Devil Dinosaur is kind of a deep cut because Devil Dinosaur was created by Jack Kirby a bazillion years ago. And Devil Dinosaur was a part of, oh, fudge, I forget who it was, but it was some kind of Kazar or something. I don't know who it was. It was some kind of, you know, one of, I mean, at its height, Kirby was coming up with characters and concepts like most people breathe, right? And a lot of them were kind of crap at the time, and it's taken a lot of recontextualizing for some of this stuff to actually be anything that anybody really cares about. They do now, they really do, but again, it's had to be filtered through the eyes of other people, because at the time, he was producing stuff and going on to it, producing stuff and going on to the next one, going on to the next one, going on to the next one. And as a result, a lot of stuff didn't, I didn't think it got fleshed out very well. And some of the ideas were just weird and kind of stupid, frankly, as they were presented, right? But when they become recontextualized by other people, other creators, some of these characters become very, very cool, and Devil Dinosaur is one of them. So, overall, I think that it's just an absolutely delightful cartoon, and you really ought to check it out. So let's see. What else? What else do we got going on? Well, I don't really know. Some of you listening will be familiar with the application YT-Download, right? YouTube-DL. There's another one called YT-Download. But anyway, YouTube-DL is a Python application for the command line, and it's for downloading stuff from YouTube and a bunch of other services, right? Videos and what have you. And they went through a kind of a half-assed challenge about a year, 2 years ago maybe about, where some kind of, you know, DMCA takedown thing was thrown at them, but it got fought and they won, right? You know, the people backed off, in other words, right? Because people, you know, it is used, you know, for people to, you know, grab videos, and that's perceived as piracy or some kind of horseshit, right? Nonsense arguments. Just lawyers trying to stay busy to justify their percentage. So, at any rate, that was fine, and that was beaten. Well, it hasn't had an update in about a year and a half now, something like that. And it's starting to get a little long in the tooth. And YouTube finally changed their algorithm in such a way that it doesn't work with YouTube anymore, right? And this became a big thing. Well, the application itself was developed by one particular programmer and then turned over to somebody else, right? And it's just somebody else who has really failed to keep it updated. You know, it's probably someone doing this, like it's on top of a full-time job and all other projects that they're involved in. But it's an important project on its own. A lot of people around the world depend on it, right? There are people who have to use it to, because it doesn't just work with YouTube. It works with, excuse me, all sorts of websites, including archive.org and a bunch of others. And they're people with really spotty, terrible internet, you know, and I'm raising my hand right here, where it's, you know, for all practical, you know, for all intents and purposes, that's what I'm trying to say. For all intents and purposes, I really can't stream things, right? Yes, I can sometimes, right? During, you know, like maybe during the day like this, I can stream video, right? But at night, I really can't. I can't even really do YouTube a lot of nights. I can't even watch YouTube without it constantly starting and stopping and starting and stopping and loading and stuff like that. So it's a terribly painful experience to watch video that way. So YouTube-DL is my tool to allow me to watch that sort of stuff without having to worry about start, stop, and then breaking and not... Oh, and the audio getting out of sync. YouTube's been terrible lately, right? So anyway, this affected me directly because when they changed things on the back end, it broke the application, right? For YouTube. Still works for other sites, apparently, without problem. They're now up to like 220 comments on this thing, trying to get them to fix it, right? Now, supposedly, it has been fixed. But the fix, one of the things about YouTube-DL is that it's got a built-in updater, right? You just pass, you know, a flag to YouTube-DL and it will automatically update for you, right, to get you the latest version. And that apparently is the part that's broken now. The guy either doesn't know how to implement that or for whatever reason doesn't care about it, right? They keep telling people to use a Python, use pip in Python to try to update or grab it from some other source or this or that or whatever. Well, I grabbed a fixed version from another source. I didn't delete the old one. I just changed the extension and, you know, so it won't execute. And then now, you know, and I put the updated one in the same directory. So when I call for it along on the command line, it grabs the one that works, right? So, long story short, I have one that works, but this is a hacky one, right? If I try to update this thing, it'll update to the broken version, right? So, it's been week and a half now. It's just been this massive thing, and instead of, you know, there's an awful lot of that, don't drop duplicates into this, it just wastes time, don't do this, don't do that, more or less scolding or yelling at the people who are asking for a solution that's built into the application, because that's how people are used to updating this thing, not using third-party programs or some other program, using the thing that's built into it. Now, I don't know why either he or other people can't get this thing to update the right way. There's got to be a reason, but for whatever reason, they're not, right? Well, I'm not stuck because I've got this other one, but this other one, I can't update that either, right? Because there's not going to be another updated version of this hacked together thing. The one that they're focusing on, the one they're trying to fix, is the one that's going to have any updates, right? It's been a while since there's, you know, that I've been privy to software drama like this. It has been a while. But for such a popular and important piece of software, its custodianship, if you want to put it that way, I think has been lackluster. It hasn't gotten the attention it needs or deserves, and I don't know why. I don't know why that is, right? Because apparently the guy that's in charge of it right now really doesn't want to offer an updater inside it, right? That's the only conclusion I can come to, right? He doesn't come out and say that, but it's a low priority for him. And apparently he has been updating all along throughout this year that I say it didn't get updated. He has been doing updates, and there have been nightly builds, and there's been this, and there's been that. And they're not getting pushed to, you know, they're not being packaged in a way that it can be grabbed automatically through the application itself. You have to have, you know, you have to be involved in the development, apparently, to grab it. It's a strange mentality, and one that I think is very in keeping with certain types of programmers, but not in keeping with people who are leading an open source software project. It's almost user hostile. You know, it's almost user hostile. And I don't quite understand that. So whoever this guy is, he was given control of the project because apparently he's very good on the software side. But I don't think he's a good choice to lead the project. Unfortunately, it's a very small project and only one person is really behind it, so, or in charge of it. And it's a small project because it's just a command line, a simple command line tool, or it's not that simple apparently, but it is a Python based command line tool as opposed to something, oh, like, I don't know, something big like Firefox or something like that. It's not on that scale, but it has a lot of people really annoyed right now the way this is being handled. And I was one for a few days. I'm not one now, but I'm more or less reporting on this. And it's drama, it's stupid, and it's crap I kind of thought was behind us in the open source software world, right? But it still crops up from time to time. Anyway, so that has been that drama going. I think that might be about all I've got going on at the moment. I'm not quite home, but I think that's it. So anyway, I guess I'll leave that off and pick it up again some other time. So yeah, that's it for today because I am on my way home.